Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Tes, the 109th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a rather unusual Mizmor, and we've probably not heard about it so much. It is not very quoted, and you'll see why in just a moment as we learn through it. This is an interesting Mizmor. It consists of in structure 31 psukim and is basically divided into three sections. It's pretty clear to see how the sections are delineated. The first half of Pasuk is its introduction, Lamenatzeach LeDavid Mizmor. Sounds much like we're back in the first and second books of Tehillim now, even though we're in the fifth. And the first five psukim, or four and a half psukim, from that pasuk onwards to the end of the fifth pasuk, is a complaint about the Rashaim, about the evildoers who deny good and who cause terrible pain to the Meshorer. Then he moves on to the central section of this Mizmor, which is psukim Vav to Chof, 6 to 20, in which he curses his enemies, and he curses them very severely. And then the last section is Chof Aleph to Chof Tes, 21 to 29, in which he prays for help from Hashem, and with a small conclusion, a prayer to Hashem to be saved. That's Lamed to Lamed Aleph. Let's take a look at the details more carefully. As an overview, we're looking at the call of the narrator, a sharp call to Hashem, who's calling Al Techerash, don't be silent. It takes us back to Mizmor Pei Gimel, the sort of the tones of desperation at the very beginning of this Mizmor. He then explains what he's crying over. There are evil people who deny goodness of Hashem, and the enemies seem to have betrayed him. These seem to be people who he was close with, who he made himself vulnerable to, and they are taking and utilizing those moments. They're utilizing the vulnerability, they're utilizing the tender moments of the relationship and using them against him to the degree that the testimony that they're bringing could bring upon the narrator death were to be listened by the judges. It is a very severe accusation which has been leveled by those he trusted most. The speaker, just in terms of the voice over here, the voice starts off talking individually and then expands to sort of a plural description, which indicates that we're talking about not just the whim, the difficulties of one individual, but rather the national and the collective. And Rashi already says that even though it's in singular at the beginning, it's really referring to all of Israel as a unit. What is very difficult, and really one of the prime questions we can deal with when looking at this Mizmor, is trying to understand how a Mizmor of this nature could be included in Tehillim. It is so severe. It is so incredibly terrible. The curses he talks about, the asking that the evil person be put to death, that his orphans will be beggars eternally, that their name will be erased, that all his sins will be brought up in heaven. These are extremely, extremely severe curses. How does this fit into the tone of Tehillim? How does this fit into the mouth of David HaMelech, who it's attributed to? A number of different ways of looking at this. The Da'at Mikra in his Sikkum, in his summary, suggests the following three suggestions. One is that the narrator is cursing the false witnesses, and all the curses are really just Kasher Zomam, as the Torah says that when you have a false witness, an aid Zomem, who conspires against a person, then one of the punishments the Torah brings about them is that the same pit that they dig, they fall into. They wanted to make a person, an innocent victim, pay up money, they have to pay up money. They wanted to make an innocent person liable for the death penalty, they will be liable for the death penalty. And therefore, really what the Meshorer is doing is he's turning their evil upon them, which actually is reflected in the words itself. If you go to Pasuk Yud Ches as an example, it talks about how this person, this evil person, loved curses, loved making other people's lives difficult, and now he's going to have to live with that cloak. He's going to have to live in the clothes that he created for himself, which are the clothes of curse, the clothes of evil, the clothes of negativity. So ultimately, one of the answers is that what this is, a midah keneged midah, the narrator betrayed, hurt, maimed other people. Well, the flip round of that is going to be that they will be hurt, they'll be maimed, and they'll be cursed like they did to others. Another way of looking at this is that this Mizmor is actually used to frighten away those who would bear false witness against others, meaning this is not about cursing others, but rather a preventative measure, a deterrent from others bearing false witness, or for just evildoers in general. And another way of looking at this is not about the particular enemy. It's not about a particular enemy at a certain point in time in Jewish history. This is the perennial enemy. This is evil incarnate. We're talking about Amalek over here. We're talking about the very different iterations throughout history of the perennial evil in the world, and that is Amalek. And when we think about this Mizmor, yes, these curses are fitting for Amalek. They are fitting for the relentless, the Yimach Shemom, which you learn from this Mizmor itself of the Nazi Germany. of the Germans. Yes, this is something which is certainly is fitting for this itself. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, although this is very general, the Radak does suggest this refers to Shaul HaMelech when he is pursuing David, but not so much Shaul himself. The leader is being fed false information about David, his own son-in-law, and the suffering that David has to undergo, losing his wife from Michal because of this, losing his life, losing his pride, being a person who ultimately has to be in exile, has no place to go, is running from one place to another, loses his family by leaving them in exile in Moab. David Melech suffers so much, and it's because people are misinforming Shaul about David's intents. They keep throwing fuel onto the flames of Shaul's already difficult and corrupt perspective, and therefore David Melech is talking about those people. The Al-Sheikh says maybe it could be expanded about, it's about Golus in general. As was mentioned beforehand, this refers to Amalek in general, evil as it pops out at every moment in history. In terms of the places in our davening that this appears, this mizmor is so heavy and is so intense that it does not appear in our tefillah at all. But there are certain words which, and certain parts of snippets of psukim which do. One fascinating pasuk to focus on is the fourth pasuk where he says, "Va'ani sefila, I am a tefillah," which is fascinating. It's not saying that I will daven, but I am davening itself. And what is interesting is that the Maggid of Mezrich would say that when we daven, that there is an element of us where we're supposed to pray for our personal needs, as the Rambam says in the Hilchos Tefillah, but also there's a notion of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And what I think David HaMelech is saying over here is what the Maggid of Mezrich is suggesting, is a very beautiful idea. And that is that we're trying to redefine our own ego, we're trying to redefine our own needs, in a certain sense, matching ourselves and our own needs up with Hashem, so to speak, being the tefillah itself, which seems to be what it is, which is a training. This is not about how it appears in our tefillah in a particular pasuk, but rather perspective of tefillah in life overall. In terms of words of psukim in the spotlight, there's a very fascinating pasuk, which is pasuk Chof Beis, the 22nd pasuk, is where he says, Libi Chalal Bekirbi, my heart is empty within me, which is a very unusual description. What does he mean? Talmud Yerushalmi says that he was devoid, he removed himself of the Yetzer Hara. And the Korban HaEder, the Pirush on the Talmud Yerushalmi says, what this means to say is that through fasting, he was able to subdue, he was able to remove his Yetzer Hara. In fact, the Zohar goes further to say that whatever this means, whether this means metaphorically that the ventricles of the heart, the one is full of air and the one is full of blood, and metaphorically, the one which is full of blood is the one which is full of passion, metaphorically. What David HaMelech was saying was, Libi Chalal Bikirbi, all this passion, the hot blood, the blood which courses through my veins and my emotion, expressing my emotions psychosomatically, I'm emptying myself of that. I'm removing that hot headedness. I'm removing all of that impulse which leads ultimately to sin, which is Libi Chalal Bekirbi. And it's so fascinating to think that if we could ever take moments when we're really in the impulse, when we're angry, when we're vindictive, when we're lusting, when we're indulgent, and we're able just to take a few minutes and sort of take a cold shower in our minds, we're able to take a walk outside and detach ourselves, disengage ourselves from the moment, we can sort of empty our hearts of that hot blood and be able to see just how much it really is. You know, the Mishteres Hashem talks about the desire to eat, and he says, you know, it's such an interesting thing. You can spend so much time thinking about food and complaining about food and desiring food and paying for food, and really the experience of eating is a very short one. You know, you see that piece of cake and you put it in your tongue and the taste is there for a few short seconds before it enters into your digestive tract and then gives you terrible problems for many days later. And why? For that, those moments of pleasure. If you're to be able to just detach yourself, empty your heart of that blood and that impulse, Libi Chalal Berkirbi, you see what an empty experience it is, and be able to actually be in control of the decisions that you make. And that's what David HaMelech is saying ultimately about the human condition. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.